That was my
we're
cue.
Just totally gross okay. This morning.
We don't have cue cards, y'all.
I don't know if we're about to fall asleep or if we're really interested.
It's deep concepts.
Yeah. I was in we're it, man. Thinking. I was yeah. there. We have no teleprompter or cue cards, y'all. We do have a few prayer requests for this morning. The first one is from Denise Parman. She asked us to pray for Randy Parman, her husband. Doctor came in and they are hoping if everything is good to go that there will be no more need for a tube inside no need for a tube outside and a drain back. I'll get it, y'all.
Maybe an infection or something.
Yeah. Okay. Continue to pray for Joe and Neva Pyatt. Continue to pray for my family. And continue to pray for Ricky and family.
Lord, we're thankful, Lord God. Thankful for you, Lord God. We're just instruments that you use, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that for these needs that have been presented this morning. Lord, you know what's going on. Father, we lift up Denise and Randy to you, Lord God, and I thank you, Father, that body is healing the way you created it to heal. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just give you praise. I give you praise. Thank you, Lord God. You're making all things new in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we lift up Joe and Neva to you, and Lord, the journey they've been on, Lord God, I just pray that you be the walls around about them. Be the vehicle in which they continue to ride. Lord God, I thank you that the enemy is a liar and that your word is true. Lord God, we stand upon your word. I stand with Joe and Neva, and I thank you, Lord God, that it will come to pass just the way you said, and we accept no other. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. I speak peace. Peace over Joe, over his mind. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we pray for family situations, Lord God. I just pray, Father, that you would move in ways that we can't. And Father, I pray that you would reveal. And Lord God, this is a big one. This is a big one because we're not just praying for families in the local area, but we're praying for families, Lord God, especially in this season, Lord God, when families get together and we're remembering past experiences or whatever, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that you would move by your Spirit to restore relationships. Bring healing in families, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you, the reason, Jesus, that you would be promoted and prevail in every thought. I thank you for it, Lord God, and for Ricky and his family. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you're carrying them right now. You're carrying them through this season. I thank you, Lord God. I pray that you help them to trust you. Help them, Lord God. You know how hard it is for us. Lord God, that you would give them that sufficiency that they need. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship 10:45. Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Bible study is at 6, Wednesday Bible study is at 7, Wednesday youth group is at 7. If you would like any more information, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956. and Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at, Tina, will you give him the number?
580-243-8635.
And let us not forget Joshua's Crossing Ministries. They are located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Rick Spain, and his title is, Whose Voice Are You Listening To?
Yep. So I'm just thankful we have a sincere and to the point technician that warns us that we're just about to be on the air again. So yeah, praise God for that. Because Lord, yeah, do you want to see us in our everyday? Yeah. God's good. Devil's bad. Yeah, so we were talking about he doesn't change. But when we allow him in us, we change. Mm-hmm. So this is the new creation experience. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, for if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that, you think, well, this is in the initial experience when I accepted Jesus in my heart, so to speak. You know, when you allowed God to be a part of your life. No, let me clarify that. Yes, it is. When you get saved, new creation happens. But it is never intended to stop there. Right. Never. New creation is happening all the time. All the time. So when you think about life and death, all right, what is death? Death is the cessation of life, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we get it in our presupposition, how we see life, that, you know what, I accepted Jesus, you know, and so, man, I'm a new creation. Yes, you are. But, you know, if that new creation isn't working in your life, you know what it is? Dead. Dead is a cessation of life. Mm-hmm. And so when it's recreating changing you on the inside. That is the idea behind the new creation. What is that? If it's continually moving, continually operating, continually producing, what is the term for that? It's alive. Life. And so this, the Bible tells us that we grow from glory to glory, from faith to faith. This is what it's talking about, that new creation experience. I don't care how long you've been at it. I don't care if you've been at it 60, 70 years. Don't care. There is still growth that needs to happen. You know what? God's given me a lot of knowledge. You know, I mean, he has. But I got a lot of room to grow. Lots. Lots. It's getting that knowledge down on in me and changing me. You know, and so we got to understand that. As our view of him changes on the inside, we change. And how do we change? We change to be who he designed us to be. Now, maybe we can get back to what my original intention here. You know, the other part of our text was in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And it's a long text, verse 1 through 27. So we're not going to read it this morning because we're short on time. Unless we can have another hour. Can we have another hour? No. Oh,
there it is. I could go for that.
They're laughing at me. So, all right. So let me tell you the story. So Ahab's the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat's the king of Judah. Now, Israel and Judah have been fighting on and off for a while. You know, it's you know, when Solomon died, his son came up and said, you know what? So Israel comes and says, you know what? You're showing favor to Judah. We don't mind the favor. Just distribute it to us, too. You know, and so Rehoboam was his name. And you know, the older fellers that were advising him said, you know what, you need to listen to what they're saying. But he had a group of young guys that he also consulted with, and they said, you know what, just tell them, as Monica would say, suck it up, buttercup. You know, if you think it's bad now, we can make it worse. You know, and so, and that's where the kingdom split up. And so this is quite a while in the future. We're talking about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Ahab was bad dude. Bad. Because he had a bad wife. And he listened to that wife. Mm-hmm. Now, her name was Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel. So you that are familiar with the Bible or a little bit, you've heard the word Jezebel. Uh-huh. So anyway, Ahab was her husband. And so Jehoshaphat comes over, and Ahab's, man, he's playing it up. He's bragging about Jehoshaphat and saying, you know, what a great fella, and just giving him all this stuff. And then he drops it. He says, hey, you know what, Rehab, Gilead, I can't remember. What's it say? Well, I got it right here. Ramoth. I knew that was wrong. Ramoth Gilead, you know what? That's our land, but the enemy's got it. What we need to do is go over there and take that land back. And will you go over there with me? And Jehoshaphat says, why, sure. I mean, we're brothers. We're both Jewish. You know, so let's go do this. He said, but you know, let's hear from the Lord first. And so Ahab says, all right. So he goes out and he gets his 400 prophets. And, you know, they're all coming in saying, yeah, go get them. God's going to give you victory in this, you know. And then Jehoshaphat, he's kind of smelling a little fishy. And he says, well, you know what, is there not a prophet of the Lord? And Ahab says, yeah, there's this one, Micaiah. And, yeah, he's prophet of the Lord, but he never says anything good. You know, it's like if I want to do something, he's telling me, nope, God's not in it. God's gonna knock you off this throne. You know, he's telling him the bad stuff. And so he says, well, call him up here. And so he sends his attendant over there and he says, hey, you know, this is the situation. They're wanting to go to war, and Ahab's got all his prophets, and man, they're saying that go and attack and you're gonna win. And so you need to say the same thing, Micaiah. You need to be in agreement. Micaiah says, you know what? I'm only going to say what God gives me to say. And so anyway, they get into the encounter, and Ahab says, well, you know, this is what we want to do. What do you think, Micaiah? And Micaiah says, you know what, buddy? You just go on and have yourself a good time. God's with you, and you're just going to come back victorious. No, you know, he's not speaking the word of the Lord. He's just being a little sarcastic, and Ahab says, yeah, you know, how many times have I told you? Speak what God says to you. And that's when he unloaded. And he said, well, this is the way I see it. I saw the Lord on the throne, and he says, how can I deceive Ahab? And then an evil spirit stands up, says, I'll go do it. I can do that. And so, and then through this situation, the head of the prophets, the 400, what was his name, Zedekiah or something? I can't remember. But anyway.
Zedekiah.
So he says, hey, you know what, you just spoke against what we just told the king, and on top of that, he socks him in the face, and he says, you know, are you saying that we are being deceived? Well, you know what, Micaiah didn't say anything, but the evidence was there. And so Ahab says, we'll lock him up, and as soon as we come back in victory, then we'll deal with him. You know, and so Micaiah says, if you come back in victory, then I do not know the voice of the Lord. Okay. You know, what we're looking at in our world today is the voice of the false prophets. They're saying we need to do this. Well, you know, it's the climate change. It's not global warming anymore. It's just climate change. You know, and so we've got a lot of scientists in the media and everything backing this and saying, hey, you know, we got to do this. We can't. We got to quit burning gasoline. It's killing us. What's kind of interesting is what plants breathe off of is what you call carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. Carbon, this is what we exhale. You know, and so I'm not a scientist. I'm just talking just simple, because that's the way my brain thinks, just simple terms. You know, well, if plants need carbon to survive, yeah, there's a dichotomy there. There's two thoughts that they aren't lining up, mm-hmm. You know. And so this is what's being promoted. Remember the saying, if you don't stand for something, can you finish it?
You'll fall for
anything. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. So you know what? When God's affecting this change in you, he's not affecting this change just to make your life better. Man, I had to say that. Darn it. You know, I like God changing me and making my life better. And you know what? We can roll with that, Lord. Thank you. And I will give you extra praise and thanksgiving. You know what? That's what I'm living for. Thank you. You know, no. You know, so Jesus talked more about one topic than really about anything else. And that topic was the kingdom. The kingdom. Why is he telling us about the kingdom? One day we're going to be in the kingdom. So you know what? I mean, yeah, this is what it's going to be when we get over there. That's not what he's talking about. He was saying, bring my kingdom to this earth. Now, does that mean that we are going to build God's kingdom here and that, you know, all the rest of it, you know, all the bad stuff, it's going to go away because obviously we're building God's kingdom? No, that's a misconcept. Mm-hmm. But what we are doing is if people don't see, if they don't hear, if they don't encounter the kingdom of God, then whose fault is it when God judges? When we stand before the throne, is God going to say, if only you had just allowed me to live in you? It's not about what we do, guys. It's about what he does in us. And when that what he does in us comes out and it affects those around us, what is that doing? Bringing the kingdom of God down here. That's what's happening. So, you know, the thought is you have got to stand up. If you want to continue to complain and to argue about how the world's going to continue to be as it is, and you are going to be stuck in the middle. So if we will allow him to influence us, if we stand up for him, then I'm going to tell you what, the world won't have that excuse. There's too much arguing, too much politics in this stuff. Politics does not solve problems. You know, and so if we just vote this way and vote. Now, I'm not saying don't vote. We need to vote. And we need to make sure we've got individuals that are going to influence our country in a way that we believe that God has put in us. We do need to do that. But if we want to see real change, it's going to happen right at your house, mm-hmm. not in the White House.
Right.
It's your house that matters. And so the last thought I want to share with you this morning is it's our responsibility to be the influence. So remember that the enemy's tactic is introduce, promote, and normalize. I didn't tell you the last part of his tactic. The last part of it is, if you do not agree, what does the enemy do? Demonize. You are the bad guy. We can't take that upon ourselves. You know what? We have to be, we have to exercise some resiliency. We got to recognize that the insults that are intended for us, Jesus said those insults are falling on him. You know what? When we are experiencing the persecution of the world, which, you know what, if you're not experiencing persecution, you got to ask yourself. That's what I was telling you earlier, Monica. If people aren't coming to us and saying, you know, they're questioning us in our ideas, then we got to question what we believe. Because I'm going to tell you something, that God's thoughts are directly opposed to the thoughts of the world. And if there's not a conflict in how you live your life and what you believe, then you got to question yourself. We are here to make a difference. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. It's like swimming against the current, because that's basically what we're doing. You know, but the thing is, it is the attacks are not intended for us, even though we may feel them, we may experience the effects of the attacks, but the the enemy's not attacking you. He's attacking who's in you. Mm-hmm. One of the first scriptures ever memorized was 1 John 4:4. And that is, little children, don't be afraid, for the greater one is in you. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so if we're going out there and we're standing in the battle, well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get knocked down. But if you bring him with you, there's nothing that can knock you down. Nothing. We have got to be an influence to our world. And what does our world consist of? Because, I watch all this stuff and I listen to this information that's, it's which I shared a little bit with you this morning. It's heavy information, not just the little stuff. And I think, well, what the heck can I do? It's so big. I can do what God created me to do where I am. I don't have to project myself into the White House. I don't have to project myself into science or whatever. I can be who God created me to be right where I am. And if I am not going to be that influence, then my influence is not going to be effective. If it's just about promoting an idea, that, folks, that's not what it's about. The kingdom of God is not about words. It's about power. So it's been a few weeks ago that I'm in the office and Heather comes in there and someone had called her. And they had experiences in the past where, a cancer-type tumor had affected their life in a young age. And it was, the evidence was coming back. And she had a growth on her neck. And so she called Heather and asked for us to pray. And, I want Rick to lay hands on you and it's going to go to me. And so, man, there's nothing I can do about it. I can't do it, Monica. I can't heal anybody. I can't do it. So, but, exactly. And so I laid my hand on Heather's neck and she called back and she said it instantly went away. She said she felt the fire of God in her neck. When we're not just talking about words here. We're talking about changed lives. If it's not evident in your life, then who's going to want what you have? We're not going to argue people into the kingdom. What we got to do is we got to tell them the truth. It's a baby. Now you put that wherever it fits in your life, because what's the argument about? What solves the argument is not the argument itself. It is the presentation of the truth. He has given us the truth. Mm-hmm. What do? We stand on the truth. We live the truth. We speak the truth. If it's not evident in your life, it doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. I'm sorry. God wants to do something in us, not just to change us, but to change your world. Mm-hmm. And I like the question you asked, Monica. Whose voice are you listening to? Because I'm going to tell you, whosever voice you were, this. Now, let me tell you real life experience this morning. The Lord gives me this scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:20. I'm thinking, yeah, that's good. What am I going to say? I don't know what I'm going to say. And I'm going back and forth in my brain, making a big problem out of something that I know he's going to work it out. And you know what he said? Whose voice are you listening to? I don't care how big a problem that you're facing. The problem's not the issue. It's who are you listening to? Mm-hmm. What's the forethought in everything in life? Good God, bad devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Annihilate them. When we talk about destroy, they don't work anymore. If you destroy something, it don't work. And so, once again, I got a little time, right? Probably not.
Okay.
Well, I just one little closing thought here. So the closing thought is, it's not about what's going on around you. We think God's going to change this. God's going to bring Trump back in the White House, you know, and he's our Savior. No, Jesus is our Savior. I'm not against Trump. I appreciate everything he did, but he's not the Savior. Now, it may happen. God is working on the inside. Mm-hmm. If he's not working on the inside, outside don't matter. So let me finish in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for the word. I pray that you impress it upon our hearts and our minds. Make us to be who you created us to be, that our world will change, that your kingdom will be evident. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching people where they are. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for, yes, right now. Thank you for touching them where they are. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's a lot to think about. That's a good word.
Good.
We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. You're one of my favorites, but don't tell the others.
I appreciate it.
I don't know how long you've been coming here. Have you been coming from the beginning?
No. No, I can't remember either.
Because I've been hearing you for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly when I found it on the radio, when I first found it, but I know it's been at least 14. Because I was pregnant, and my youngest is already 13.
So
she's almost 14.
Years.
At least 14
really
that I've been listening. So yeah. This program has helped disciple me through my adult life mostly. So it's been amazing, and it's really a blessing to be here and see you guys in person now.
Yeah, really?
It's good to see you.
You too.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, the beautiful Monica Lovell, and our brother in Christ, Rick Spain. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.